Tonight, what I'm going to be touching on is the topic of fellowship. Okay? You guys think fellowship is important?
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely, right? There in your handout, there's a scripture there from Acts 2:42 that says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer." You know, so these four practices that are delineated in this scripture really were practices that were exercised by the early church. Okay, so they continued steadfastly in or devoted themselves to these things. Okay, so they were really disciplined in doing these practices, and these four practices certainly are very important for a church. For the church to continue to grow and thrive, these four areas need to be practiced. And as you notice, one of them is doctrine, right? And then you see communion, and you see prayer. And those are pretty self-explanatory. But the fourth area there is that of fellowship. So what exactly is fellowship? You know, out of the four, it seems like it's the most ambiguous, right? But there is an important aspect to that. I mean, fellowship is an important component for the vital growth of a church. You know, you imagine, the table, of course, has four legs, right? So if one of those legs is missing, what's going to happen to the table? It's going to fall, right? It's not going to be stable. And that's pretty much what happens in the church. If one of these components are missing, it does weaken the church, and it does cause some instability in the church, and it can hinder the growth of the church. So, again, we'll be looking at fellowship. What is it? I mean, a general definition of fellowship is sharing something with another person in a deep way, friendly, relation, and companionship. An association of people with similar interests and tastes. So fellowship comes from the root koinonia, and this Greek word is found 20 times in the New Testament. And it's usually translated, again, fellowship. But it's also translated communion, distribution, and participation. It is derived from those other Greek words that are on there, one of them is koinonos, which refers to a partner, associate, comrade, or companion. So there's four words that are closely related to fellowship, and we'll be looking at that, okay? The first one is actually one of your fill-ins, and that's relationship. That's the fill-in in number one, relationship. And that basically is the foundation for fellowship, whether it's subjective or objective. It's the foundation for fellowship. You guys agree that in fellowship we can establish relationships?
Yes.
Certainly, right? I mean, the Lord has been gracious to allow us to establish relationships in our home with our spouse, with our kids, work with our co-workers, but here in the church, in fellowship, we're also able to establish relationships with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's a blessing to have those relationships that we could nourish and be encouraged through. And we'll see the importance of that as we go on. But in Ephesians 4:25, there's a scripture there that says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Okay? So we are members of one another. Now, in Christ, certainly, we consider ourselves brothers and sisters, right, in Christ. And that's a beautiful relationship that we could have the privilege of having among the body of Christ. And here it says on there that this fellowship of believers can be enjoyed within the body, which is in the church. And So this relationship is important because of the fact that certainly the Lord will always bring someone or people that you could develop relationships with as we serve the Lord here, as we co-labor in Christ here. And those relationships are beautiful relationships because they're based out of being in Christ, right? And so that's a beautiful thing that the Lord provides for us. And it's important to have relationships. We can't just be a loner out there or just kind of come to church and go right out without really establishing any relationships. So it's important, you know, as you come to church, pray that the Lord will provide a brother, sister in Christ that you could be encouraged by. And that's a good thing, as we'll be looking at it later in the study. So the first one, again, is relationship. And the second word that's related to fellowship is that of partnership. And that's the means of fellowship. That's your second fill-in, partnership. Whether it be social or spiritual, we'll see. And there's a scripture there. 2 Corinthians 13:14, that says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." So, and then there's another scripture actually there in Philippians 2:1-2 that says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." You know, these are scriptures that again point to the fact that in Christ we do partner up. We partner up in the gospel. We partner up as we come to church because we're co-laborers. There's a partnership that's established. And that's a good thing, because ultimately, why do we come to church? Why do we serve the Lord? To what? What's the ultimate purpose as we serve here in this church? What does the church gain from it? To be like him. To be like him, and the church is built up, and the body of Christ is encouraged and strengthened. So, as believers, you know, we've all been, of course, adopted into the family of God, right? Where we can all share in His grace through Jesus Christ and be united in the Spirit. We've all been united in that way. And as Christians, we're able to share spiritual fellowship with other believers, since we've all been brought together again with the common bond through the blood of Christ. That's our common bond, right? Jesus Christ. And this allows, again, for sweet fellowship among the brethren who can be united in the Spirit and be like-minded, okay, in Christ. We all have, we would all desire that we would have ultimately the mind of Christ. And as we continue to grow as Christians, we continue to learn more of who the Lord is, and we become more Christ-minded, where our desire would be to be more like Him and to do things that He calls us to do in His Word. So we all become like-minded, united in the Spirit. And that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's sweet spiritual fellowship that occurs in the church. And it's all because, again, it goes back to the fact that we all placed our faith in Jesus Christ. And we've all been adopted into His family. So it's a sweet fellowship. In Philippians 1:5, it says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Again, we all have a fellowship in the gospel, because we've all, first of all, been saved by the gospel, right? And we're all living out the gospel. And so, in a way, again, in fellowship, we are in fellowship in the gospel. The gospel needs to be demonstrated in every aspect of our lives. You know, so as we share the gospel out there, yeah, sure, we're going to share the gospel message. But in the way we live, people should see the gospel in our lives in every aspect. You know, so Again, this is a sweet spiritual fellowship, and we're all co-partners. You know, we enter this partnership ultimately to do the Lord's work. And what better partnership, right, to be in or to be a part of? I mean, it's no comparison to partnerships out there, right? This is a spiritual partnership that we can enjoy in the body of Christ. And that's a beautiful partnership. So the third word that's related to fellowship, and that's, again, another filling for you, is that of companionship. And that's the method of fellowship. So companionship. You guys think companionship is important?
Yes.
It is, right? I mean, the Lord God has created us to be people who, of course, are dependent on Him, but also to be interdependent on each other. And that's important, you know, that our dependency is in Him, but as we serve Him as co-laborers in Christ, we depend on each other. We depend on the encouragement of each other. We depend on the prayers of each other. You know, so that's important in the body of Christ. As we're doing a work in the Lord, we have to have that companionship, the fellowship, the encouragement, the prayer, and we lift each other up, of course, when we need it. You know, so it is a companionship. In Genesis 2:18, that scripture that says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." So we need help, right? I mean, we need help at home and with our marriages. The Lord has been gracious to give us a helper. But we also need help here as companions. The Lord brings people alongside of us to be able to accomplish the work that the Lord wants to do in and through this church. So it's a beautiful thing that we have the help. And that only comes from the Lord. In Proverbs 18:1, it says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." You know, so we should not, let me just read that paragraph there. It says, we should not think of our fellowship with other Christians as a spiritual luxury, an optional addition to the exercises of private devotion. We should recognize, rather, that such fellowship is a spiritual necessity, for God has made us in such a way that our fellowship with Himself is fed by our fellowship with fellow Christians and requires to be so fed constantly for its own deepening and enrichment. You know, so again, it's essential. It's an important aspect as being a Christian that we do not isolate ourselves. You know, that we come and that we come and get connected to the body of Christ in fellowship. It is a spiritual necessity, and it does help us not just individually in our spiritual growth, but to ultimately make a spiritual impact through this church. There in Philippians 2:3-4, it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." That's key, right? Looking not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So seeking to serve others above your own interests. Not being selfish, you know. So if we're out there on our own and we don't want to come and contribute, that is a form of selfishness. And it says it on there, beware of individualism where self is the centerpiece. We are to put others before ourselves. Isolating ourselves demonstrates selfishness, and this will hinder our spiritual growth and spiritual impact. It will be a hindrance if we choose not to fellowship, not to get connected. There's many Christians out there that feel that they don't need to get connected with a church, that they're okay and that they're fine out there on their own. And so they choose not to fellowship. And that is a hindrance, again, for spiritual growth, and they will not be able to be as impactful for God's kingdom alone, as a lone ranger out there. And of course, it makes them more vulnerable out there, right? So in Galatians 6:2, it exhorts believers to bear one another's burdens. Okay? Do you think we're called to do that?
Yeah.
Of course, right? The word tells us that. You know, so there's always sufferings going on. There's always burdens within the body of Christ. Some Christians may be going through some hard times, and they have a lot of burdens. And as Christians, as part of this a fellowship in the body of Christ, we are to bear each other's burdens. We are to be there to encourage each other and to pray for each other. If a brother or sister is down and out, if they stumbled, we should be there to lift them up. That's part of carrying each other's burdens. And serving the Lord certainly doesn't come unopposed. The enemy certainly will always try to take us out, right? So we definitely need the encouragement of other brothers and sisters in Christ. I think we all could think of the times where we have had some hard seasons where we really needed someone to pray over us and to encourage us. And the Lord always brought that person, right? But if you were just to be out there on your own, that just cannot happen. So that's just a benefit that being in fellowship, you are able to bear one another's burdens. And that just strengthens the body and allows the body of Christ to continue to grow and mature and thrive and be strong, because we're all in this together. We're not just doing this on our own. We don't have tunnel vision where we're just doing our own thing. No, we have to be sympathetic to the needs of the body of Christ in this church or wherever you attend. You have to have a heart of compassion for the burdens of people. Because what happens, I mean, if the people of God cannot receive the encouragement in the church, where are they going to get it? You know, so we have to, it's, you know, the church is like a hospital, right? People that are hurting spiritually come to seek that encouragement. And we should be more than willing to be available for those people when they come in. So again, Galatians will exhort believers to bear one another's burdens. And then in Hebrews 10:25, it encourages us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but to exhort one another. Again, emphasizing the point that we cannot choose to reject fellowship or choose to be out there on our own. We can't reject the assembly of believers, because again, there's strength there. There's benefit to that. But, and in doing so, of course, we're able to exhort one another, right? Exhort meaning encourage, you know, so let's have a heart to do that, you know, to always stay connected. And there's a spiritual battle going on, because the enemy certainly, the way he works many times is he'll try to make you, you know, feel so guilty. Let's say you did something, and to condemn you to a point where you're feeling so guilty and overwhelmed by it that you want, the tendency is to isolate yourself and to stay out there and not come in. And that's exactly where he wants us. And we're just a sitting target there. We choose to stay out there and not come and fellowship and receive that encouragement that we need. So there is definitely benefits to fellowship. And it says it on there, Christians should never isolate themselves from other believers. Not only is this dangerous, But in order to advance the kingdom of God, we need the assembly of believers working together to accomplish God's work. In Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, it's a beautiful scripture there that says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, it's that same point that we're talking about, that being alone, you really, if you fall, there's no one there that's going to lift you up. If you're here and you have other brothers and sisters, they could lift you up. And this scripture is beautiful because it applies to so many different relationships. But here we're talking about fellowship. But in a marriage, it also applies. You know, you have the if you only have one person, certainly that person is gonna be weaker. But if you have the husband and wife together, that's stronger, right? And the enemy certainly is harder for him to come in. But ultimately, that third string, that third cord needs to be the Lord. So a threefold cord is not easily broken. So even in our relationship here, we need to have the Lord with us. You know, so as we encourage others that need it, we need to have been seeking the Lord on a regular basis and be filled with the power of His Holy Spirit to be able to encourage. If we're not seeking the Lord, we're not walking in the Spirit. We're going to be walking in the flesh, and we're not going to be effective in being available for those who need it. So definitely two are better than one, but with the Lord in it, definitely that's what we want. Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Can you guys picture that? Iron sharpening iron. Let's say you're sharpening a knife and you're sharpening on a metal surface there. You know, you see the sparks coming out, but it's sharpening that knife. To be sharper is refining it. And here in the body of Christ, as we come as believers, you know, we're sharpening each other. The fact that you guys are coming, you guys are being sharpened. By even with these teachings, or when you're seeking, you're going to fellowships, the brothers and the sisters, they encourage each other and you sharpen each other. And that's part of it, of growing as Christians and being accountable. You know, so we want to be sharpened. We don't want to be dull in our walks. You know, we want to be sharp where we could be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that when he tugs at our heart, that we're going to know, okay, the Holy Spirit's telling me to do this, and I'm going to submit to that. So our senses need to be sharpened. Our spiritual senses need to be sharpened. And it does come with being in fellowship. You know, we have the men's fellowship. We have the women's fellowship. They sharpen each other, okay? And so there's a good thing out of that. That's why it's good to attend those if you can. That's part of that helps us grow as Christians. So if you can, why don't you turn to 1 Corinthians? Actually, it's on your handout there, I believe. Is it on your handout? 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 22. It speaks of the importance of unity and diversity in one body. Let me read that. It says, For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am, I repeated that, and I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? But if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. So we certainly, you know, we're one body, but there's many members. And every member is important to the body. Every member is important to the body, okay? And is essential, really, for that body to work. And, you know, the tendency sometimes is people think that they're not useful to the church. What can I contribute to the church? But the fact of the matter is, the Lord gives everyone spiritual gifts to contribute to the body, for the benefit of the church, to encourage its people. So if you're choosing not to come, thinking, oh, I can't contribute, then the body ends up hurting, right? There's going to be a missing part. And there's not one part that's more important than the other. Every part is just as important. So don't think that just because, let's say, the ushers or the people that are cleaning the bathrooms, that they're not important. No, that's an essential part of the body. Okay, just as important as the teachers. Without them, the church could not function. You know, so there's many members, but they're all important. One body, but many members. And we need to keep that in mind. As you know, you guys might not know what spiritual gifts the Lord has for you. Maybe you do, but he will confirm that to you as you continue to grow in the Lord. And the desire should be for us, every one of us, to want to exercise those spiritual gifts and exercise them in excellence. Ultimately, he's giving those spiritual gifts to us for the benefit of the body of Christ. Who knows what spiritual gift they have already? Anybody here? Well, be praying. The Lord will confirm that down the road. You just have to be open and be willing to be used in those capacities. You know, we all have our agenda. We want the desire to, oh yeah, I wanna be up there teaching. No, but the Lord certainly may have something totally different for you and to be effective in that capacity. So that's important. Now let's look at Ephesians 4:11, verses 11 through 16. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's a beautiful description of what happens in the church. Again, there's different giftings, but every aspect is so important for the growth of the body, for the edifying of the church. So that's that part. Okay, that's the we're number four now. The number four, actually, the word that fill in there for you is stewardship. That's another the next word that's related to fellowship, and that comes from the overflowing of fellowship, stewardship. So as believers come together in fellowship, we can be good stewards in the area of, first of all, exercising the spiritual gifts. And that's a filling for you. To help strengthen the church. And I just touched on that. And there's a supporting scripture there for you. So exercising the spiritual gifts to help strengthen the church. Number two, the filling there is giving to the work of God. So part of fellowship is also giving, offering to the work of God. And that's the supporting scripture there in 2 Corinthians 8:1-12. And then number three, another part of stewardship that believers come together in fellowship for is to stir up love and good works. That's another fill-in for you. Good works. And that's seen in Hebrews 10:24-25. So as we come here, we do stir up love and we stir up good works and we encourage each other to exercise those gifts and we pray for each other. If you feel that you have a special gift, we pray over you so you could be able to exercise it in power and be effective. And then another aspect of being a good steward as you come to fellowship is to minister to the saints. And you know, all this comes down to the fact that we do minister to each other in different ways as we come to fellowship. And that's being a good steward, again, of the ministry that God has entrusted to you in whatever way, whether you're in the children's ministry as a teacher, you are ministering to the saints, or the kids there. If it's in here, you know, so there is a ministry going on, but ultimately the saints are being ministered to. And then letter F is distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So that's another way. As one comes to fellowship, one benefit of being a good steward on certain ministries is if you get involved, even with the, you know, we have a hospitality ministry here that provides for the needs of those who are hurting, who need whether a meal, they need someone just to go and clean their house, go visit them in the hospital, all those, that's a ministry in itself, but that is part of being in fellowship with those who are in need. And we're encouraging the people of God in that capacity. And that's a beautiful ministry. Because a lot of these people are hurting, or they had a recent death of a loved one. They need the help. And we're there to help them and minister to them. And so the fill-in there is hospitality. And letter G is searching the scriptures together. You see that in Acts 17:11. You know, the Bereans, they searched the scriptures together to make sure that it was true. You know, so we all come together in fellowships here, whether it be here in this New Believers class, or we're searching the scriptures, right? We're studying the scriptures together. You come to the services here, we're searching the scriptures by studying the scriptures together. The other fellowships as well. So we're all working together, searching the scriptures together. And that's also part of being in fellowship. And that's being a good steward of being a diligent studier of God's word. We all want to study God's word in a way where we want to grow in the knowledge of the word and who he is. But we also need help too. Together, you know, we study it together. You got questions, you ask. And that's a good thing. So according to the following verses, with whom do we have fellowship? In 2 Corinthians 13:14. The scripture there says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So according to that, who are we having fellowship with? Jesus, right? God the Father, the Holy Spirit. It's all three in there. And then number two, in 1 John 1:3, the scripture says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So according to this scripture, we also have fellowship with the Father and the Son. And then the third one, in 1 John 1:7, we have fellowship with one another. That scripture says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So again, we have fellowship with one another as we come. So should fellowship be an option for Christians? No, right? Absolutely not. The repercussions of not coming in fellowship, number one, there's no accountability. That's a feeling for you. No accountability. You're not accountable to anyone if you're staying out there. No one to come and to either confess or even ask for prayer or ask for encouragement. Make sure, you know, so that accountability is important as we come here to church. There's accountability that's established. Number two, if we don't fellowship, there is increased vulnerability to the attacks of Satan. The feeling is Satan there. You guys believe that? If we're lone rangers out there, we're refusing fellowship, we're sitting ducks. The enemy just wants to come in, that person that's out there that's isolated himself, and he's vulnerable. And that's a perfect setup for him. And number three, if we don't fellowship, there's a tendency to compromise and fall back to sin. That's a feeling, compromise. And that's so true, right? Again, because there's no accountability, there's no one out there, no one that you're being accountable to, and you're not connected with anyone, you're going to be more likely to compromise and fall to sin. So that's an important aspect. So being out of fellowship definitely puts us in a tendency to compromise and fall back to sin, since there is no accountability. And the other aspect to being out of fellowship, one of the other repercussions is the fact that we're not challenged. You know, if you're not coming to church and fellowshipping and coming to the studies, then certainly we will not grow, because of the fact that if you're out there, let's say you're out there and you're on your own and you feel that, well, I could read the word and I'll be fine. But there's many parts of scripture that you may not fully understand and need clarification, and you do need to be sitting under a teaching, under a pastor that you could grow through teachings. So it is important to be challenged that way. Otherwise, if you're out there on your own, you could justify, rationalize, saying that, you know, that you understand everything, you're fine, but when in reality you're not being challenged. So that's another aspect of not being in fellowship. And then, like we said earlier, if you're not in fellowship, certainly it's going to hinder your spiritual growth. You're not going to grow in the Lord. If you're on your own, you need the body of Christ to help, just encourage and pray for you and even again help you in areas that you're struggling with, that you could be lifted up by brothers and sisters in Christ. But without fellowship, certainly the number six is the fact that there's no spiritual encouragement from others. So there's nobody there to encourage you when you're hurting, when you're down and out, when you're depressed, when you're overwhelmed. No one's there to lift you up if you choose to be out of fellowship. And lastly, number seven, if you're not in coming to church and being in fellowship, certainly, like we alluded to earlier, you cannot exercise the spiritual gifts that God has blessed you with to encourage the church and encourage others. So these are serious repercussions of not being in fellowship. on your handout there talks about the huge redwood trees of California. I mean, they're amazing. You know, they're humongous. They're just enormous. They're the largest living things on Earth, and the tallest trees in the world. And some of them are 300 feet high, and over 2,500 years old. And one would think that these trees, they're so large, they must have a tremendous root system that reaches down hundreds of feet into the earth. But not so. The redwoods have a very shallow root system. If one was to get down on his knees and examine the redwoods root system, he would find that all the roots intertwine. They are locked to each other. When the storms come, the winds blow, and the lightning flashes, the redwoods still stand. And they are not alone, for all the trees support and protect each other. Each tree is important to all the other trees in the grove. And it's a beautiful illustration of what happens in the body of Christ when all the members are there to contribute. We're all intertwined with each other. We're all interlocked together in Christ, and we all can support each other, encourage each other, and there's strength in that. So it makes the church that much stronger and allowed to thrive and flourish. So one body, but many members, again, coming together to accomplish the work that the Lord has for the church. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, we just thank you that you are so good to us, that you're so faithful, that you remind us of these important areas in our Christian walks, specifically the area of fellowship. Lord, we thank you that you have blessed us with the privilege of being in fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would encourage each other, that would strengthen each other, that we would be able to lift each other up. Help us to continue to desire to be in fellowship in all these areas, Lord. We all want to exercise our spiritual gifts to encourage and others in the church and edify the church, and help us, Lord, have that mindset that be like-minded ultimately to accomplish the work that you called us to accomplish through this church at Calvary Chapel Almani. So we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name.